Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is September 17th or 18th, depending on what time zone you're listening to this. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, before we even begin, I want to say, if you listened to the last episode, I'm not sure if this is me being paranoid or if it's something that really came across, but my hotel room that I was recording this in had the thinnest walls I've ever had to deal with. It was like truly paper mache. I could hear people talking from like completely down the hall. So for me to be as loud and as passionate as I wanted to be, it was kind of hard. Subconsciously in the back of my mind, I was just thinking this whole entire floor could hear me just ragging on Eric Rowe or something like that. So I guess subconsciously it made me a little bit more reserved than I would have hoped to be. And I didn't want to wait another day to re-record back when I got back to Texas. I felt like that was just too long to let this episode sit. So I really hope it didn't come across that much. Maybe you can go back and listen to it and say, yeah, this guy was a little bit more reserved, or maybe he sounded more monotone. I don't know. So this episode, we're going to be discussing the Minkah Fitzpatrick news, the trade to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as always, with every trade, everyone always gravitates to the idea of, well, who won and who lost. And I always say that it's kind of hard to tell, especially when a player is this young. Minkah was traded after his first season. It's really hard to gauge who won and who lost because we don't know what Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to become, and we don't even know what the Dolphins are going to do with this draft pick, so it's really hard to say. But I'm going to go into the good and the bad for both of these teams, because I do think there are some good and some bad for both of the teams that are involved in this trade. So first, let's look at the Dolphins, and we have to start with the bad side, because that revolves around what Minkah Fitzpatrick is, and I feel like that's what we have to discuss first before we even dive into the details of this trade. So Minkah Fitzpatrick, a first-round pick, 11th overall for the Miami Dolphins. He's a DB slash safety. This season, he was forced to play in the box. He didn't necessarily like that, so he requested a trade from the Miami Dolphins. And it could also be implied that maybe the state of the team and how bad they were losing could have affected his decision to want to play for a different franchise. So Minkah Fitzpatrick was a very solid rookie player. There's no denying that. He was not someone who was kind of a downer in his rookie year like Josh Rosen was. He was somebody who was very solid and at least appeared to be someone who could grow into a star. He was described in college as being a coach's pet. He was also very versatile. Of course, he didn't want to play box safety, but when it came to free safety and roaming the field as a slot corner, as a boundary corner, he was still a very versatile player who could play all those at a very high level. Now, when it comes to Minkah Fitzpatrick, the person, I was lucky enough to be able to speak with him a few times when I was at Dolphins game, talking to him in a locker room. He is just a very down-to-earth guy. He is all business. He is of the utmost character, I believe. So he doesn't have an ego. He is the anti-Jalen Ramsey, if you think about it. So for him to be bothered by what was going on in Miami, just know it is coming from a mind state of playing football. It's not this beefing. It's not about an ego. It's none of that. It's strictly about the sport of football. He is all business. So this is all a loss for Miami, of course. They lost a very talented player, one that could grow and develop into a cornerstone for most of the teams in the NFL. Of course, there were a ton of teams that were interested in him, but for the Dolphins, it appeared like they exhausted all opportunities. According to GM Chris Greer, there was no salvaging the relationship, and Minkah was intent to leave the Miami Dolphins. There was just nothing they could do. So another knock against the Dolphins would be trading a first rounder after only 1 year, especially when that first year was pretty solid. That's kind of unheard of. That's not something that you typically hear about, and that's not something that most franchises would be striving to do. But given the state of the team, how intense this rebuild is, they felt like it was okay to do so at this time. So those were the losses for Miami, but if we look at what they won in this trade, they got a very, very nice first round pick next year from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, it is nice because the Steelers are now 0-2. They lost Big Ben for the season. This could very well end up being a very high first round pick. So my bet is that the Dolphins saw that. They were willing to bet against Mason Rudolph for the Steelers. Steelers and assume that this is a very high first round pick. And if it indeed is so, then it is hard to knock Miami for making this trade. It at least eases some of the blow on trading a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick. So that all is a huge win. If there was no way Minkah was going to stay with the Dolphins, they were able to maximize the value and get a truly great deal. There are a ton of people saying they fleeced the Steelers. I wouldn't go as far to say that just yet because we don't know what Minkah Fitzpatrick could be. He could be the next Troy Polamalu for the Steelers. He could be the next Mel Blunt. We don't know what he's going to be, so I can't say who won this trade. All I know is the Dolphins got the max value they could, so that is a good win for them. Now, we go to the Pittsburgh Steelers side of the trade, and we have to look at how did they lose this trade, and that's by giving up a first-round pick, which could be a very high pick. And the Steelers, they need to find this heir to Big Ben. He's going to be 38 next year. He's going to be coming off of a season-ending injury to his elbow, a very significant injury. So the fact that they're putting so much faith in him without having a plan to get that heir, unless they believe Mason Rudolph is the guy, then that is just a huge risk to me. It seems like this move would have made a ton of sense if they would have made it 48 hours before, but instead they did it right after the news that Big Ben's out for the season. It's just a little bit more confusing of a move. I think it's very risky on the part of the Steelers. But I can say that I could see why they did it, and they're really betting on Mason Rudolph here. If you look at the rest of the schedule, because there's people saying that, oh, now the Steelers are the ones who are in the mix for the top first overall pick. I wouldn't go just that far yet, because look at who the Steelers have left on their schedule. They have the 49ers, they have the Bengals twice, they have the Dolphins, they have the Colts, they have the Cardinals, the Bills, and the Jets. That is 8 very winnable games, even if it is Mason Rudolph there as a quarterback. The Steelers had 2 tough matchups, and I know everyone's very quick to count them out and say that, oh, they're 0-2, they lost their quarterback, they're going to be the number one overall pick. There is a good chance that they're going to end up with a middle of the round pick still, even with Mason Rudolph at the helm, and that will be a very good looking move by the Steelers. So I can see why they did it. The schedule is easy enough to do so, but to me, just a very, very big risk in doing so. Another way the Steelers won this trade is how I said Minkah Fitzpatrick's just a star of a player. Every team could use him. He doesn't have an ego. He, despite what everyone's saying about him in Miami, there's a lot of bitterness there. I'm just convinced that this guy thought that it was just such a devastating and bad situation there in this season of tanking that it could have affected his development. That's really how I think he interpreted the situation, and he just wanted to get out of there. So just to kind of sum up this, the Dolphins lose because they lost a great player, Minkah Fitzpatrick, but then they won the deal because they got the best deal available, and it's one that has a very good chance at being a very, very nice looking first round pick. Now the Steelers, they lost this because they don't have a plan in place. If Mason Rudolph doesn't work, this is a very risky move, and it looks like it could be one that could hurt them long term if they don't find the heir to Big Ben. But they won this because at the very least, they got a very solid player in Minkah Fitzpatrick. The way we saw his trajectory right now, I doubt he regresses. That seems very unlikely to me. At the very least, I think he ends up being a solid starter, and at the very most, he could be some superstar on the team. So that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Shady Steven. You can follow the podcast that is at Via The Source. I'm going to be doing a giveaway tomorrow. I will be announcing that, so stay tuned. As always, guys, though, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso. This was Via The Source.